Good morning, May 28, 2026. Time for your harm reduction briefing. Today's thread runs from opioid settlement oversight in Louisiana to Toronto's warning that medetomidine is increasingly showing up in the unregulated drug supply. Disclaimer: this software uses AI to aggregate content and transcribe it to speech. Please double-check sources before putting any information into action. To start with news coverage, Filter reports that Louisiana is urging more oversight when opioid settlement funds are given directly to sheriffs and other law enforcement agencies. A related local report from the Kansas City Star says authorities allege businesses in Olathe and DeSoto, Kansas, sold THC products to children. Filter also looks at a national perception gap around youth nicotine use, asking why many schools still act as if teen vaping is worsening, even though teen vaping has been falling for years. That is worth watching, because school responses can shape discipline, prevention messaging, and how risk gets communicated to families. And on a different front, Drug Reporter has posted video from the Nordic Mobilization on Human Rights and Drug Policy, with all presentations available to watch. In social media, one lived experience post from Brendan Little on LinkedIn reflects on being court-ordered into a year of residential substance use treatment as a teenager, and on the death of a roommate from that program, Jesse, who became the first friend he knew to die from an overdose. The post frames that loss as part of a much longer toll that treatment and overdose systems can carry in people's lives. From Toronto Public Health, two related updates point to ongoing drug toxicity concerns in the city. Using Toronto Overdose Information System data, the agency says medetomidine, an animal tranquilizer, is increasingly present in the unregulated drug supply. It also says Toronto continues to be in a drug toxicity epidemic, and that the city's drug checking service is reporting ongoing contamination and unpredictability in the supply. When an emerging adulterant is named this clearly, it can be a signal for services to review alerts and frontline response protocols. There was also an oppositional message circulating on X from Ray Bernodes, who argued against overdose prevention sites by citing reports of robbery, assault, and drug smoke exposure near one site, and telling people to move if a site opens near their home. That post is best understood as opposition messaging around harm reduction rather than a service update. In research, one paper in PLOS Global Public Health looks at probation as a targeted entry point for scaling up opioid agonist therapies in Moldova, using a modified screening, brief intervention, and referral to treatment strategy. Another study, in Substance Use and Addiction Journal, examines the impacts of a scattered site managed alcohol program for people with alcohol use disorder in Halifax, Nova Scotia. A few policy moves stand out. In Tennessee, a newly enacted law expands what courts can do when someone under 21 is found to have unlawfully purchased, possessed, accepted receipt of, or used fraudulent proof of age to buy tobacco, smoking hemp, a vapor product, or a smokeless nicotine product. For a first violation, the options now include community service, successful completion of a prescribed court program, or informal adjustment for 90 days. For a second or later violation, the law allows probation for up to 6 months, along with community service and successful completion of a prescribed court program focused on the dangers of tobacco and vapor products. Also in Iowa, a newly enacted state law addresses the taxation and regulation of alternative nicotine products and vapor products and includes effective date provisions. At the city level, Denver approved one resolution tied to the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment's Tobacco Education, Prevention, and Cessation Program for $910,238. Denver also approved a separate resolution connected to work serving people increasingly affected by opioid misuse and overdose, with no change to contract capacity or term. On funding, three current opportunities are open now. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has a Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act, or CARA, opportunity with a deadline of June 8, 2026, so that one is coming up soon. SAMHSA has the Providers Clinical Support System for Substance Use Disorder Treatment, or PCSS-SUD treatment, with a deadline of June 15, 2026. And the National Institutes of Health is accepting applications for a Center for the Advancement of Substance Use Disorder Pharmacotherapeutics through training and preclinical support, with a deadline of September 30, 2026. For any additional funding opportunities flagged by the newsletter, check out the browser version. And finally, in activism, Mobilize Recovery is asking people to RSVP for its 2026 virtual workshop tomorrow. Shatterproof is also asking for donations for Mental Health Awareness Month. If that workshop is relevant to your work, the RSVP timing is the main thing to keep in mind today. That is your morning briefing. Stay informed, stay grounded, and have a strong start to your day.